the great Deacon David Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, Saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. Today we've got a very special treat in line for you. You're going to hear from two young men that have been given a subject to learn about and speak about, and they're going to share that with you today. The reason I pointed that out is that's something you can do with your own children. If you'd like to get your children's attention, if you'd like to get them away from maybe foolishness and things they shouldn't be doing, if you'd like to get their attention and get them to study more, give them a subject. Tell them that you want them to write a speech and give them a subject to start working on. I assure you, your child will go to work on that thing and find all the different items throughout the week or 2 weeks, however long you give them. You can suggest to them actually that they have a little black notepad that they carry with them, and then along the way, anytime that they have a thought come to mind, everybody see that little notepad? When they have a thought come to mind associated with their speech, they can write that down and have that information available. So let's learn how to train our children to speak, because it is a great joy when you see your child or the child you're working with, when you see them get up and speak and bring forth information in a proper and righteous manner. It's just such a great joy. And so today you're going to hear from these young men, and if you would all please stand. It is my great and awesome privilege to introduce to you the great future priest, White Buffalo.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today, I'm going to be talking about how we will teach Babylon and we will change it with the words from Yahweh's mouth, which is Yisrael Hawkins. So, today I have a question. What is Babylon? Just think about it, and we'll go on to it later in this speech. Babylon means confusion, and this world is a perfect example of Babylon. That's all we see today, fighting and confusion in this world. In the July 2013 prophetic word, Vengeance and Retaliation, that's what it's entitled, on page 4, it's entitled Confusion, and on page 5, in the third column, right before it has the peaceful solution thing right there, it says, that's exactly what we see today. It's the cause for the great hatred, revenge, retaliation, shootings, and stabbings, and bombings. And that's what we see today in the world, a big mess. I have a story to share with the saints of Yahweh. When I was going home a while back, there was a Christian, and it was getting close to Christmas time, and he took these wires, and he placed it on the road, and he twisted them up and to make them look like letters, and then he put light bulbs all over his wires, and he put light bulbs on them, and then he strung wire all around it so everybody could see it in the night. And he had it all lit up, and he put a cross by it, a white cross, and he had a big light on it so you could see it. And on the sign, it said, Jesus is the reason. And when I saw that, I was like, well, Jesus is the reason for all this confusion in this Babylon. That's what it said right here. Jesus is the reason for all of that. So that's why we will teach Babylon and we will change it with the words from Yahweh's mouth, which is Yisrael Hawkins, the one sent in these last days. And it should be a pleasure to us to be able to teach this dying world and change them to act in Yahweh's ways. In Revelation 17, verse 5 on page 982, Revelation 17, verse 5, we'll start at verse 4, and it says, "And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication, that abomination, that Babylon, that's going against Yahweh's laws. And upon her head was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots and of the abominations of the earth." By the way, when Pastor gave his speech entitled, "In Hopes of Helping the Pope," almost right after that, Pope Francis came out and he said, "The Catholic Church is a woman. And this woman should not have the attitude of servitude, but the attitude of service." And that's the woman that it's talking about right here, that's causing all the Babylon, Satan. So, this woman is trying to deceive you. But this is what Pastor says. He says, "My warning to you, do not be deceived, but only believe all that the prophets have spoken." In Revelation 18, verse 1 and 2, it says, "And after these things I saw another mallet come down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was enlightened with his glory." So this mallet was sent by Yahweh. "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. And that's what Babylon will do. Babylon will fall. Going on, it says, "And has become the habitation of demons, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird." So, Pastor, he was telling some stories about how the house of Yahweh came about, and how it's going to continue growing in this big oak tree. And he was going off memory, and one of the things he was talking about was the TNP lane, that the House of Yahweh requested for it to be changed to Truth and Prophecy Lane. And the House of Yahweh made that request, and they quickly got denied by the courts of the world. They quickly got denied. And the lawyer said that if they would have changed their name to House of God, or if their name was House of God, that they would have been able to change it to whatever they wanted to. Well, I started thinking about what a Kahan taught me a while back, and he said that if you take the House of God, and you line it up like that, it says hog. And a hog is another name for a pig, and that's what they eat. The priests, they follow the priests who eat the swine's flesh. If you take the word God and you flip it backwards, it spells out dog. And dog, please turn over to Revelation 22, verse 15. It says, "For outside are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and worshippers of gods, Elohim, and everyone who professes to love, yet practices breaking the law." So that's those dogs, those sodomites, that is talking about. And Pastor, in the recent prophetic word, he's teaching against these dogs. He's asking us not to be deceived and follow in the way of this Babylon. We are letting Babylon come into our lives when we commit what sometimes we consider those little sins. They aren't little, they're all big, and if we don't repent, they will get us burned in the lake of fire. One of them is like speeding. It's your job to control the vehicle, okay? So, it's your job to control the vehicle. Unless there's an emergency or Pastor tells you to go somewhere and get there fast, then there's really no reason to speed. So keep this in mind when you're driving. Keep the speed limit. Listening to worldly music. Pastor shut off the music for a long period of time to get the worldly tunes out. And The worldly tunes, they'll get in your brain and they'll mess it up and they'll pull you away from the race that we're running to get to the kingdom. And not obeying the one sent in these last days ties into that, because the one who is sent by Yahweh, Yahweh's telling us these laws and his message through the one sent. And that's part of believing in Yahweh. And Yahweh's 613 law reference in the back of the book of Yahweh, positive law number one, says, believe in Yahweh as the only source of power in the universe. If you would turn to Exodus 20, verse 2, on page 61, it says, I am Yahweh, your heavenly Father, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. So it shows that Yahweh's in control over this, and Yahweh is the one who's controlling it in these last days. So when we commit these sins, that we may consider little, we should consider it as letting this hog come into our house and then sit in our couches, eat at our tables, and dance in front of us. Entertain us. Have you ever heard of the TV? And sleep in our beds and give us this cup of wine that Satan has made. We as the house of Yahweh, do we want to accept this cup of wine?
No.
No, and we should not want to. So in conclusion, I'm going to say that we as the saints of Yahweh should throw this away from us. We do not have time for this hog in the house of Yahweh. Okay? And it's part of respecting us and Yahweh. And in the end, we'll see that it will benefit us. Keeping Yahweh's laws, putting away this Babylon, and not being deceived, it will benefit us. For my closing scripture, if you will turn over to Revelation 18, and verse 4, it says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, so that you do not partake in her sins, and so that you do not receive of her plagues. So Yahweh is telling us to come out of this Babylon, run this race, and get to the kingdom. And do not be deceived by Satan. And Satan is trying to operate this Babylon with her messenger, Pope Francis. So don't be deceived by Pope Francis's flowery words. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to the great Deacon David Knighton Hawkins.
Oh, boy. If you could see my jaw right now, you would see that it's hanging about this far down, okay? Now, if there was ever any wonder when you were reading the scriptures on how an 8-year-old child could have taught Israel, it should be solved right now with what you just saw. Isn't that not amazing? Praise Yahweh. If you could continue standing just for a moment. We have another young man coming up here, another one of the future priests, and he's going to be bringing us a message on the peaceful solution and how it could solve all these problems before these problems even occur. And so please listen diligently and take all this in. It's a wonderful day here at the house of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. And with that, I'd like to present to you the great Deacon Yacob Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. I want to start with asking a question. Test your memory. Do you remember what took place December 14th, 2012? Anybody? Raise your hand. If you're like most people, yeah, the ones that I told already. If you're like most people, you don't remember. On that day, almost 1 year ago, it's be a year and 2 weeks, was the Newtown, Connecticut school shooting. And that's why as I speak about this, I'm going to be referring to the school shootings, but keep in mind that the peaceful solution can solve all problems. I'm just tying this into the one and showing how it can work. And we have After this took place, now most people don't remember this. They don't think about it much anymore. It's old news to them. And so it's out of their mind. Of course, they know it took place, but they also say now that that'll never happen again. That's what they said after Columbine. That's what they said after Virginia Tech. But yet it happens again and again and again, and they never make a change to stop the problem. They try. They set up all kinds of things to stop the problem, but they never work. I want to show you some of these things. First I want to talk about is the guns, the gun laws that they are wanting to put into the books here. It says, I have a few articles. This one's from USA Today. It was December 19th, 2012. Where the Sandy Hook shootings happened, bans firearm sales to anyone who has been found not guilty of a crime due to a mental disease or has been a patient in a mental hospital within the preceding 12 months. So they already had gun laws. They already were trying to ban people that had mental disorders from getting guns, but it didn't work. They still had a school shooting. Gun restrictions on people with a history of mental illness, such as background checks and waiting periods, had no significant effect on homicide rates. It didn't work. The gun laws that they're trying to put in there don't work. The best way to keep severely disturbed individuals from committing murder is by getting them into treatment where they can get help and not harm others. And that's exactly right. They hit the nail on the head that time, that they need help. They need to be taught. And believe it or not, we have to be taught how to think. We have to be taught how to think. I want to also read from USA Today, same date, the 19th of December. It said a third of mass killings didn't involve guns. It didn't involve guns because it's not the gun. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. They just, most of the time, use guns to do so. You know, a gun doesn't get up, grow legs, and walk off and shoot somebody. It takes somebody to do that. And it's somebody that doesn't control their thoughts. It doesn't have self-control. And the Peace Solution teaches them how to control those thoughts. It says, in 15 incidents, the victims died in a fire. In 20 others, the killer used a knife or a blunt object. In China, it was big for hammers. They were using hammers. So sorry, carpenters, we need you to turn in all your hammers. Well, let's ban hammers. Have you heard of the knockout game? It's not a game. It's killing people. Anybody who wants to call it a game, what they're doing is they're saying, oh, it's just a game. Children look at it as a game, but it's killing people. And they're killing people with their bare fists. They just walk up, boom, knock them out. They hit the ground. It kills them because their head hits the pavement. It's not a game. The media is the one to put that word on there. It's a very serious problem. So what are we going to do? Ban our hands? Cut our hands off? Is it really the guns that's the problem? It's our minds. The minds that haven't been taught. We have to be taught how to think. So another idea that they had was let's put the military in our schools. Let's put some police in there, armed guards. I want to read you about this sniper. He was the head sniper. He had over 160 confirmed kills. That's just confirmed kills. Over 160. He loved his job. He could take a shot a mile and kill someone. I want to read you some of his mindset. It says here, despite what your mama told you, violence does solve problems. That's exactly what the children think when they take a gun to school. And this is the mindset that we want to put a person like this in our schools to protect our children? I'm not done yet. Let's see a little bit more about this guy. It says, you're a little more aggressive when you're at work. He's talking about being in the military. And when you come home, you relax and try to be a different person. The problem is he's trained to be a cold-blooded killer. He learned from the same video games that the children are playing today. After I was discharged from the military, it was difficult trying to become a civilian. Trying to be that great dad, the family guy. Because his mind was already trained to that. Is that what we want in our schools? It gets worse. It says, The first time, you're not even sure you can do it. He's talking about killing somebody. He says the first time, you're not even sure you can do it. But I'm not over there looking at these people as people. Did you hear that? I'm not looking at these people as people. I'm not wondering if he has a family. You don't think twice about it. Well, that idea isn't going to work. Well, they also talked about putting high-tech security systems in the schools. It says, this came from Abilene Reporter News. I think we can do all kinds of things, but if people want to get in, they will. In fact, the ones that are doing the shootings in the schools are the ones that are supposed to be in the schools. So how are you going to keep them out? It's still going to take place until they're taught. It says, two Oklahoma legislators believe that educators trained in firearms and firearm use should be allowed to carry guns just at school. So they're saying, let's arm the teachers. And I say, yes, let's arm the teachers. Let's arm them with the tools that they need to end the problem. Let's arm them with the peaceful solution. That's the only thing that's going to stop the problems. Praise Yahweh. And we'll get into more of that in just a minute. So he also goes on to say, it would be a better idea if the shooter could have someone that he could talk to when he's feeling upset. It's a great idea to have somebody around all the time to listen. And they're talking about psychologists, because it says, the next line here, our schools must employ full-time psychologists and counselors. The problem with psychiatrists are they're only there when the situation can get physical. They're not there to teach the child to begin with. They're not there for preventing the problem. They're only there to talk the person out of killing somebody at the moment. It says in this article, we need to better train staff, and that's absolutely right. They need to be taught how to teach the children. They need to be given the peaceful solution. That's how you better train the staff. The time to take our children's mental health seriously is now. It was a long time ago. We should have done this a long time ago. After Virginia Tech, after Columbine. But nothing is done. So it continues to get worse. We continually have them. And mental health, yes, we need to teach mental health. That comes through self-control. Controlling the thoughts, controlling the feelings. That's what brings mental health. We must make emotional health and development a priority in all our schools if we hope to raise well-adjusted and healthy children, as well as possibly prevent tragedy from striking. Now, I have a film I'd like to play real quick. In this film, you're going to see a few things. You're going to see the mindset of the children that are on these video games. And proof, there is a, it shows that Adam Lanza actually had the video games. And then you also will see that they're still looking for solutions. They want a solution. And what it is they need the peaceful solution, and they need to implement it now. If you can go ahead and play the video.
This is a special edition of Nightline. Tragedy at Sandy Hook. The search for solutions. The search for solutions. The search for solutions.
Darren, thanks. Another question raging these days. Could a virtual shooting spree in a game like Call of Duty create a craving for the real thing? We'll look at the science next. All of us here at ABC News have devoted this week to hearing from you, addressing your questions, searching for solutions as we mourn Newtown as a nation. Across more than a few of our message boards, we've seen more than a few people raise concern over violent video games and the cultural effect of having so many young men living virtual lives as first-person shooters. So tonight, ABC's Neil Karlinski takes a look.
Then came a nighttime TV ad for the video game Hitman Absolution, which led former top Obama advisor David Axelrod to tweet, shouldn't we also quit marketing murder as a game? But is this just good fun, or is an entire generation being trained and desensitized to the act of shooting people?
But it is not a myth for the Fokin family in Kiev. Yelena is a manager at a printing company. She has two children, 12-year-old Alexander and 7-year-old Alexei. Their mother raises them alone, but spends most of her time at work. Eventually, her oldest son, Alexander, became totally immersed in online games and lost all track of the time he spent on the internet.
Выключай. Another piece of this has to do with Adam Lanza and video games. Investigators, you've reported, are looking into the time he spent playing, presumably, violent video games. What did you find?
Well, we learned that there were thousands of dollars worth of video games that they discovered in the home. We learned that he had been playing video games for a while, and Josh actually talked to a tech advisor who discussed some of the games that he had played earlier on.
And if there is even one thing that we can do to prevent any of these events, we have a deep obligation, all of us, to try. And any actions we must take must begin inside the home and inside our hearts. But the fact that this problem is complex can no longer be an excuse for doing nothing. The fact that we can't prevent every act of violence doesn't mean we can't steadily reduce the violence and prevent the very worst violence. But if there's even one thing we can do, if there's just one life we can save, we've got an obligation to try. And it makes you realize that if there's even one thing we can do to keep our children and our communities safe, if there's just one step we can take to prevent more families from feeling what they feel after they've lost a loved one, we've got an obligation to take that step. We can make a difference.
We can make a difference. We're going to make a difference. There you go. Now, what you saw with the child there, I wanted to show you what goes on when the children are viewing these things on a constant basis. In Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12, it says, as for my people, children are their oppressors. Just keep that in mind, because that was oppression. The parents didn't have any control of the child. And in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 through 6, it says, "Then Yahweh saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent of man's thoughts," now here we go, the thoughts, controlling the thoughts, "was only evil continually. And Yahweh regretted what man had become, for man failed to keep Yahweh's laws." They failed to keep practicing the peaceful solution. They failed to keep those morals. "And grieved Yahweh's spirit wholly." So what do we have here? We have a problem. We have to get down to the root of the problem. If it was bullying, if Adam Lanza or any other one, if there's any problem with bullying in any school, that has to be stopped. And the peace solution can't stop that. The acceptance unit has a couple chapters that will can't stop, guaranteed to stop bullying. And with a person that's getting bullied, they have the emotions of embarrassment, humiliation. Well, then they get these thoughts, "I'm done, I can't, I'm done, I'm not gonna do this anymore. I've had enough." They get the anger start going on them because they're not controlling those thoughts. Those thoughts have to be controlled because those hot thoughts only fuel and justify anger. So then you get the anger going on, and they're not controlling that emotion. It turns to rage, to the point where they go to school and get a gun and go to school and to solve their problem. We need to get this in the schools and every home and businesses, prison now. If anyone has the ability, if you have the ability to put this in a school, in a home, and you don't do it, who's the guilty party? Is it the child that goes to school and commits these things? Is it the person that commits the crime? No, it's the person who didn't educate them. It's not the gun that kills people, it's the people. You know, if that being the case, I don't misspell words, it's my pencil. My pencil misspells words. It's the guns, because people need to be taught how to think. And that's one thing of this peaceful solution that to show you that it will work. It will work, it's guaranteed to solve these problems. It's time to teach our children now, before we have another school shooting. May Yahweh bless you in your understanding. At this time, I'll turn it over to the great Deacon David Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Remain standing just for a moment, please. I think you could see, I would not be scared one bit to send one of these young men out to be in authority over a city, even a state, and even a country. I can tell you that the laws of Yahweh are within these young men, and that's what we need at this time very badly. And as you can see, the peaceful solution will change the problem before anyone even thinks about picking up a gun. Because that child that was striking at his mother or grandmother, he never would have even done that if he'd been taught the peaceful solution character education. He wouldn't even been playing the video games, okay? So to continue on with this great feast we're having today, I'd like to present to you the great Kahan Zephaniah Hawkins.
Welcome, everyone. And the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. Now, we're going to start this morning with the first story, which is China scrambling jets over some disputed islands around Japan. And what this shows is this is a tense standoff, really, between the United States and China. And it involves B-52 bombers, which are capable of delivering nuclear bombs. And this is, of course, a setup for the nuclear wars, which are about to start. And it's going to involve China also, which is becoming a superpower of its own. And then we have the Iranian deal. The United States made a deal with Iran that, remember the sanctions that involved that computer that kept Iran from buying and selling, they cut them off of that SWIFT system. Well, they made a deal that if they will reduce their uranium production and allow some inspections, they'll put them back on this system, although there's some dispute as to what exactly the deal is. But what this is to keep in mind, because this is a perfect illustration of Revelation 13:17, where it says, and that no one might buy or sell unless he had the mark or the number of his name. And this mark means obedience. Okay, so it's saying that they're going to have a system in place that's going to make people and countries obey by controlling whether they buy or sell. And you'll see Iran obeys. It reluctantly obeys. And there's a man even there that says that, is I do think the sanctions and the threat of military action brought the Iranians to the table. But it's a reluctance obedient. It's a reluctant obedience that's not going to last. But this is what this mark is. The mark is obedience. Just like the mark of Yahweh is the Sabbath, which is obedience. You are whose you obey. Now then so we're going to have two stories on that. Then we have the Vatican displaying St. Peter's bones, and you'll see the Pope Francis holding this box, which supposedly holds St. Peter's bones, whatever those are. I'm not sure. They might actually be one of the saint's bones. I don't know. But as he's holding this, looking holy, holding this box, just keep in mind, he would like each one of you to be in that little box. That's what he's really thinking. He would like us to be in that little box. And then we have the destruction by a tornado. And this is just a cell phone video. It's a very short story. It's on CBS News. But what this shows, which you normally cannot see in a video because it'll show the whole tornado and coming and going and the whole city being wiped out, this shows how quickly destruction comes on an individual basis. The man takes a picture of the tornado, and like seconds later, him and his wife come up, and their house is gone. And this is how sudden this destruction is going to be. And then we have a special video from the pastor. So let's play the news. Everyone, please stand. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Israel Hawkins!
You may be seated. I think y'all are making more racket than the children of Israel when they crossed the sea. In front of the armies that was going to wipe them out. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. This is a exciting times. And the Pope is saying, as Malachi Martin did, that Mary is going to win out. Bloody Mary, the one spoken of in Jeremiah. If you have a King James Version, Yeremia, if you have a Book of Yahweh, I believe that's 44 and 45. This message went out to all the world starting, and I was told it was released at 2 a.m. Friday morning. They called me early, probably 8 o'clock, 8 a.m. Friday morning, and said that 9,000 newspapers, news medias had already run it. They called me yesterday evening and said 34,000 had picked it up and was running it. The real-time news in India, it's being run all over the world. Yes, sure is. You can't imagine the amount of people that's reading that right now, the warning that is going out: if you don't let my people go, you're going to suffer 7 plagues. That's exactly what Moshe told them in Exodus chapter 7 through 11. 7:11, you should be able to remember that one. India, as it happens, religious organization releases new publication that warns of plagues and catastrophes that will get worse. The House of Yahweh has released the biblical warning in a new publication. They say, according to prophecy, the world will see continuing plagues in place after place until all who desire to come to their feast are permitted to go. A new article. Copyrights for that, you can get that and read it in the India newspapers. It's Rediff, Rediff.com, India Limited. But this is going all over the world. They keep calling me every few minutes and saying, hey, this one's got it in the foreign country, or that one has it in the foreign country. Religious organization releases new publication that warns of plagues and catastrophes that will get worse, just as the days of Moses when he said, let my people go. And then it gives the full, they put the full article in here, the complete article, not just this advertisement. A new article published by the House of Yahweh this week gives a stern warning that prophecy clearly shows there will be continual plagues that will only intensify unless all who want to attend their feast are allowed to freely go. We have people in many countries who want to attend Yahweh's feast 3 times a year, but they are being denied entry into the United States and denied the opportunity to keep Yahweh's laws, said Israel Hawkins, pastor of the House of Yahweh. Prophecy shows that just as in the days of Moses, when Pharaoh's heart was hard and plagues polluted the land until Yahweh's people were free to worship him, we will see this same scenario played out in our time, Hawkins continues. Now that is coming in this generation, as the Savior said in Matthew 24, verses 33 and 34. In the letter, Israel Hawkins addresses Pope Francis. Hawkins says that the Vatican is the one who needs to free Yahweh's people who are being held captive in various countries. He says the Pope is blocking Yahweh's people from getting visas to come to keep Yahweh's feast to Yahweh. Hawkins gives a little history on why he believes this and how he can prove it to be true. What I will show you is 100% accurate and provable, Hawkins says. To read the letter, go to www.yahwehsbranch.com. That's www.yahwehsbranch.com. To read the whole thing. Several pages. Let's see, this is U.S. News, local news, Lubbock News, staff stories, China sends fighters. That's what you saw on the news just a few minutes ago, sends fighter jets to patrol new air defense zone. This could turn into a nuclear war right here, you know, and China's not afraid. Like some of the others are. They're not afraid of getting taken over either. Italian former prime minister expelled from parliament, and then in defiance of a new China air zone, U.S. flies B-52 bombers through it. It's like, cross the red line, I'm the biggest bully, I have the biggest gun. Let's see, this too is the United States. One news page, United States press release. And ours is first and full here. Religious organization releases new publication that warns of plagues and catastrophes that will get worse. Just as in the days of Moses, when he said, "Let my people go." Now, the people are all over the world right now are reading this, and they're going to be hearing about it. I want you to get some scriptures in your mind to start with. There's 90 days at least of, maybe I better say 7 days, of continuous preaching. You know, seven, it's not like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's complete. Seven. So I use seven, and if it goes 700 or 7,000, it'll be complete when we get through. But this gathering, if you look to Revelation 7, you see this gathering that Yahweh is going to put together. He's putting it together now. In fact, we've been reaching them for quite some time, but he's actually in advance now. He thousands of years ago, he marked these people. Now, I know that seems impossible, you know, but he did. He marked these people like he marked you and got you ready to call to his house. He did certain things that when you heard the words, you came. Like the prophecy that says, in that time period, I will raise up to David. Well, if you check this out, you'll see that it was from David's genes, which came down from Abraham, of course, but from David's genes that Yahweh's branch was bred and brought up by a woman teaching, a woman and a man who taught continually the Holy Scripture, just every day, day after day after day. And to me, it never became boring. You might think that would be awfully boring, but it wasn't. It seemed like that every day I heard it, I wanted to hear it even more. So it was a breeding that took place. I will raise up to David. You remember that scripture, I know. In Jeremiah 23, the famous, very famous chapter. Well, anyway, here we see this great gathering taking place of 12 tribes that was marked, also marked in the same way, and of course to be called, and certain things being put in their in their bloodline. Well, why isn't it unfair for him to mark some and not others? No, the ones that refused it, they refused it on their own. And of course, that bloodline was never killed out or destroyed. It was let run. But the ones that did accept it, like Abraham, and proved that he would, under extremes, keep the laws of Yahweh, or keep whatever Yahweh told him to do, he would actually do it. That's what I see coming forth in our young children now. They've set their minds and hearts to totally overcome. I hear their confessions. I know what's in their hearts, and I can see that how they're overcoming. They're setting their mind to do righteousness, and they're setting their minds that they're not going to let their head be turned again. And they may slip up, but they repent and they set their minds again. And that's exactly what the prophet Samuel did. That's what David did. Well, here we see this huge gathering. I've got men working on this again with later calculators, and I think one has been working on it for 20 years now, but they're giving it a once thorough check now that is taking place. For those who are late and just now coming in, you really need to get the first part of this, and you need to get this news. There's some really great things taking place here in these prophecies that you need to know about. And the more you can learn about them, the more you will understand what's going to take place, the stronger your faith will be and your confidence in Yahweh to protect you and so forth. But here, there in that place, if it goes clear over to the last verse where it talks about the Lamb, which of course is the high priest and king over the house of Yahweh. This is 7 verse 17, Revelation 7 verse 17. You see the Lamb there? Well, of course, if you know the scriptures now, you know that Yahshua, the Lamb that Yahweh prophesied to die to pay for the sins of the people, he's here showing to be the leader of this great gathering. This is a great gathering that Yahweh says is just going to be like the days of Moshe, but it's going to totally outdo that, and people will no longer be saying, well, let's turn over to Yeremia. They'll no longer be referring to the time when Moshe brought the children out of Egypt, but this is going to be greater still, and everyone here, his name is being listed as part of this work. If we had that 2 billion people right now in chapter 7, if they would turn them loose, let them come to the house right now, we could train those people in 6 months the way we're set up right now. Yes. And we could send them out to every school in the world right now. We could completely cover the earth like the waters cover the sea, and that's what Yahweh tells them. We could do this. We could stop these plagues right now from taking place. You saw those tornadoes? Now, surely no one can say, oh, this happens all the time. No, it doesn't. It broke every record. Devastating. 190 miles an hour wind, can you imagine? When the fishermen could certainly vouch to that. They gripe when there's 25 miles an hour wind. They throw their line out there and the wind carries it up and the birds try to pick it out of the air. Well, this was 190 miles an hour wind. It was like a nuclear bomb almost that went out. A house didn't have a chance. Brick house, brick buildings didn't have, they couldn't stand it. They crumbled and fell. Well, but we could stop that. We could put a stop to this whole thing. The seven plagues that Moshe saw and pronounced on Egypt, That's nothing is what's going to come on this world. These seven plagues listed, seven, yes, complete. And of course, that's they're going to totally overshadow what Moshe did. You're going to be talked about throughout all eternity. Yes, you, every man, woman, and child as being a part of this. In Jeremiah 23, he first says, woe to the pastors. Of course, he's speaking of the 12 tribes here, the leaders, the elders, that later became priests in Jerusalem by violence, by violent force, and then destroyed the temple, moved to Rome, and took all the artifacts with them, of course, from the temple. Someone told me he thought I was crazy when I first announced that, and he said he actually went and looked up the word Titus to get a big laugh, and he said he was so surprised. He was a history teacher, but he had never seen it, but he knew about Titus, he said. But he never saw that, and it never dawned on him that this was the temple artifacts from Jerusalem that the man was taken to the seven hills of Rome. But it's there for anyone to see. And of course, these are the same ones. These are the people that were in leadership, the scattered Yahweh's people, and with a roving army, of course, owned by Herod, or the Herodians. And of course, they scattered, they killed, they butchered, and then they take the bones of Kepha, one they murdered. Did you get that? They took the out there displaying the bones of Kepha, whom they killed, whom they murdered, hung him upside down, and sacrificed him on a stake, obliging him because this man, think of this man and how strong he was. I want every preacher or priest to get this in your mind and be just like him. Just like him, willing and ready. He said, I'm not worthy to be hung right side up on a stake like the Savior. Hang me upside down, he said. And they did. Well, this is the same bunch that scattered his people by doing away with the laws. And everyone that came and said, Herod, it's not right for you to have your brother's wife. Hey, Pharaoh, that brother's wife, you're committing adultery with her, Pharaoh. Sodomy is sin, Pharaoh. They killed him. This was their way of solving problems. It still is their way of solving problems. To everyone who wants to come out of this beastly system, and they go to the visa department in these foreign countries, they first have to lay their money from $150 to $300 down on the counter. They take the money and put it in a drawer. They pick up a stamp that says no. Sorry. They don't even say they're sorry. Nope, hand it back. Well, of course, Yahweh says that's going to change. And he said, he is going to gather his people. But every day that they hold back and don't want to let Yahweh's people go, the plagues are going to get continually worse. Now, this is the promise of the prophets, and I believe it. He's going to wipe out, you're going to wipe out yourselves. Yahweh's not bringing this. You brought it on yourselves. And it's not being caused by anyone but you. You're the ones, and Isaiah 24 shows that you would not keep Yahweh's laws, and you brought these curses upon yourselves. The house of Yahweh is the only one that could stop these curses, and we would if you let Yahweh's people go. If you don't, it's sure death. Yahweh says, and as Yahshua said, repent or you're going to perish. Repent and let Yahweh's people go. Well, verse 5 of Jeremiah 23, he says, behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will raise to David a righteous branch. Why would he put that in this time period when he's putting a great gathering together? And who is this branch? Well, the scholars, even some Bibles, Amplified Bible. It said in a different place, but talking about the brand, said this is the first of many prophecies that scholars have struggled over for years trying to find out who this man might be, called the branch. Well, we're going to go through that in detail because the scripture shows in detail who the branch is. But the branch starts with the gathering here. But notice who else here that you just saw in Revelation 7. You got to tie the two together. Remember that? The Lamb, Revelation 7:17, the Lamb. Well, he's going to raise to David a righteous branch. Righteous. Now, he had this figured. He had the ancestry figured from those who served him now to bring this seed down to a certain person, a certain woman and man in the ends of the earth, the ends of the earth. And had he figured where a one-year-old boy, try to get a one-year-old boy to say Buffalo Bill Hawkins. He had it figured to where a one-year-old boy would say those words. But then Yahweh said, no, I'm the one that named you. Yes, all of that's in the Holy Scriptures, and we can show it, and I intend to. But he says, hey, I'll raise to David this righteous branch and a king. Well, we see in other scriptures where Yeshua is that king, that is the Lamb that's making the gathering over in Revelation 7:17, guiding the house of Yahweh, which is doing the work. Hebrews 10, verse 16, he's the high priest over the house of Yahweh. That is verse 21. 16 shows what he's teaching his people. Hebrews 10:16, I'm putting my laws in their hearts and in their inward parts I will write them. That's like I see in the young children here today. You don't find children like this in the world, brethren. You know what you see out there? Guns. And the police shooting them, carrying toy guns down the street. This is what you see in the world. You see it everywhere. And people wanting to kill, 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 murder. Well, here Yahweh says, behold, the days come. The days come. And talking about Revelation 7 now, where he's talking about this huge gathering that that's already in progress. And it's going to come. The gathering is going to come. Like it or not, it's coming. 2 billion people to serve with us. Righteous branch. Can you imagine 2 billion people trained and sent out to teach right now all over the world? See, these are from all nations. Yahweh says, I'm bringing them from all nations. So they will have their mother tongue to speak in, but they will learn it here, and then they will take it to their own country, Yahweh shows. We'll cover the earth like the waters cover the sea, Yahweh said. 2 billion. A king will reign and succeed. He says, and if you remember, Yeshua said that on this rock, meaning unity, everybody is going to agree or they won't be there. That's what's caused in the separation in the world today, is of course, disagreement. People wanting their own way instead of Yahweh's way. But either you're going to agree or you won't be part of it. On unity, I will establish my house, Yeshua said, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Well, this king, Yeshua Messiah, as is shown in Zechariah and many other places, But in Hebrews 10, he says, will reign. He's reigning with the branch. The branch. Well, and Zechariah said between the two of them, between the two of them, he says the branch is going to establish the house, house of Yahweh, and then between him and the son of Yahweh, and gives the name Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, they will rule together. Between the two of them, they will bring this righteousness to the earth. They will reign and succeed and will execute judgment. That's the judgments of Yahweh as Yekiska shows. That's Ezekiel, King James Version. They will use Yahweh's judgments and justice and bring justice in the earth. There is no justice in this earth today. You show me justice among the nations in going and killing other people, taking wealth that is not theirs. You know, the islands that they're talking about, that Japan says, these are ours. I mean, China says, these are ours. We've had them for years. We're going to possess them. We're going to govern them because they're close to us. We don't want enemies possessing them, but we'll take care of whoever that wants to live there. Well, China has been rather fair about the whole thing. At least that's what's appeared in history on this. And they say, no, you're not going to take them from us. But then if you look a little bit deeper, as the article brought out, that these two islands or several islands there has a multitude of wealth, spelled O-I-L. So it's not just a hill out there with fish swimming around it that they're wanting to build a motel on or something. No, there's a lot of wealth there that they're claiming, and others are wanting it. Now, in that day, in his days, that is the branch and the king, Yahshua Messiah, and Yahweh's branch, in his days, Yada will be saved. Yes, salvation will actually go. In fact, Revelation says now is salvation. All of this work, if you could think about it, for 6,000 years, the plan of Yahweh, the perfect plan of Yahweh, and all the work for 6,000 years, Billy Graham saved millions of souls, he thought. The Million Soul Campaign. I remember this well. But he wasn't saving anyone. Salvation wasn't even offered at that time. Salvation was offered at the beginning. At the beginning with Adam and Eve. And it was refused. And then it was cut off. But he set seven works to guard that and bring that perfect way of life down through seven works, so it would always be, those seed would always be planted here and there throughout the 6,000 year generations, and from David's seed bring up a righteous branch, Yahweh's righteous branch, that was part of that guarding and keeping. But the results of it is not until the very end, when you have the spoken of, the promised high priest over the house of Yahweh. None of the other priests could offer salvation. Well, what did they offer? Remember their sacrifices that they offered? But that was only a reminder that, hey, you need to repent. You need to stop this, and you need to start showing Yahweh that you can and will keep his laws. Remember their own trial. Deuteronomy 30. I set both life and death before you. Life by righteousness. But also I set death and destruction. Well, that's what's come forth from the majority of mankind. And Yahweh said, fine, take it, go with it. I will allow it. And I'll show you what your end will be. So he prophesied and said sent his prophets and warned the nations over and over and over, this is what you're bringing upon yourself. and they will grow totally worse all the time. He said, you're going to be sick from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. Well, now we're down to the end where we're sick from the top of our head to the sole of our feet. Totally. No baby is born sound today. Every baby has a defect. They're born with it. It's impossible for them not to be. Some more, some less. Some so bad they die in a few days or a few hours. That's what the world is getting. And I'm saying, because the scripture says, these are going to multiply quickly now, and the plagues that you see, only the house of Yahweh is capable of stopping them. We need help. We need our 2 billion people to work with us, and we could stop these plagues, and the world could live. And if you don't repent, and if you don't release our people, then these plagues are coming. That's a sure thing. And there's no one can stop it but us, the house of Yahweh. Yahweh shows that. Now is salvation. We could save you right now if you would let our people go. In his days, Yada will be saved. There will be salvation. In the days of Yahweh's branch and Yahweh's king, Yahshua Messiah, over the house of Yahweh, as Hebrews 10 shows. In his days, Yada will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. And this is the name that he will proclaim, this righteous branch will proclaim, and the king that reigns over him will proclaim, Yahweh, our righteousness. Seek Yahweh. Seek the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness first, Yahshua said. Therefore, behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that they will no longer say, as surely as Yahweh lives, who brought up, that word, I brought several sermons on those two words. It includes the two witnesses being brought up. Moses was brought up. Moshe was brought up. He was raised up. The genes were perfect in his body for the job that Yahweh had for him to do. He guarded him every minute. He even had him raised in the king's house that was wanting to destroy him. He was educated. Then he was taken. He was educated in the world. He was taken to Yahweh's house and fully trained for 35 years. And then at my age, right now, I'm the age of Moshe when Yahweh says, gather my people. Now, isn't it strange? Isn't it strange that the gathering would start and get more intense in this time period? I don't know if everyone understood me last week when I said I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I was begging for a prayer to be answered. I said, because I knew this had to be brought. I knew this demand had to be made, but I didn't want to do it until I could see that Yahweh was ready for me to do it. Because there's a set time for all of these things. But I couldn't find it in Scripture, and I kept looking out the window at the clouds from 3 o'clock till the time I finally got out of bed. I got ready and sat down at my table and went to work, but I kept looking out the window at the clouds. And I said to Yahweh, give me a yes or a no. Now, if you don't, I'm not going to bring it. So I've got to have an answer before I bring this. And I said, just put a yes up there if you want me to bring it. If you say no, that's fine. And I kept looking at the clouds, but nothing occurred. And I finally, it was getting close to the time when the sermon was to be brought, and I called one of our deacons who has been given a talent for reading clouds, and I said, told him what I was up against, and I said, I need an answer. I feel like Yahweh will give me one, maybe at the last minute, and he said, okay, I'll start watching and taking pictures. And Deacon Rutosky, whose son spoke this morning, did a marvelous job. Praise Yahweh. That's my son. Praise Yahweh. Anyway, he called me back in just a few minutes, and I said, already? And he said, oh, yeah, it was last week. He said, we got a picture of that over right over the top of your office where you're working right now. We got a picture of it. And I said, that's just like Yahweh. Well, he'd already given it to me the week before. And I called the right one. But I knew nothing about that picture being taken. They didn't know anything about it. When they saw it, they said they talked about it. And they said to each other, I wonder what that could mean, the word yes. And they pushed it aside and went on to another picture. Anyway, I brought the first sermon last week, and those who missed it needs to get it. It's very important that you stay up on this right here. He says, this is going to be a spectacular thing, what we're seeing here. There's a lot of deaths that's going to take place in the world. The misery is going to get so great, they won't be able to stand it, and they're bringing it on themselves. They have been ever since that Yahweh sent Isaiah, even before Isaiah, there's other prophets warned them too. Look back to verse 1. Woe to the pastors who destroy and scatter my sheep. Well, it started with Moshe, and Yahweh told him, he said, well, they're going to start forming their armies, and they're going to start fighting each other, and they're going to take your sons and your daughters and get them involved. What a hellhole that was. Every army that took place. And you're sent out to kill somebody that you don't even know. Now, this is the justice that we see in the world today. Well, what could clear that up? Yahweh himself. He gave them peace. He gave them peace even from the nations around them and showed that he could. And when they came to Samuel and said, you know, they're killing us. They're wiping out our tribes. They're taking everything from us. Even the artifacts from the house of Yahweh, they're taking them from us. So they sent out their armies, and their armies was beat off. And Samuel said, put away your God worship. Put away your God worship. Well, where do you find God worship? Look at the third chapter of Genesis. Follow the pattern of sin mixed with righteousness. The tree of righteousness and evil. Yahweh put the perfect pattern of peace in the tree, in the garden, and offered it to mankind. And they refused because Satan says, go ahead and sin, and you'll be like the gods. Samuel said, put away this God worship. This is what it's bringing you, is war. This is why you have war right now. And Samuel, after they all repented, and Samuel turned to Yahweh and said, okay, I've got them all back in line again. Yahweh fought their battle for them. They didn't even have to lift a sword. They don't have to. You don't have to. When the army was chasing, praise Yahweh, when the army was chasing the 3 million Israelites, the house of the man Israel, when they were chasing them through the sea, trying to catch up with them and stop them and bring them back, because Pharaoh's heart was hardened again, they didn't have to lift a hand. All they had to do is trust Yahweh, like Moshe told them. Just see what Yahweh will do for you. And they saw all this, but yet they wanted a king to fight their battles for them. Now you got two kings fighting. Well, they're not fighting, but they're telling your young men, go out here and kill these people. So you got death after death after death. Your land is filled with blood. And your land starts crying back to Yahweh, like Abel's did when he was killed. And then more kings and more battles and more kings and more battles. And then finally, after 6,000 years, Yahweh said through Daniel, knowledge is going to be increased, meaning Yahweh is going to allow knowledge to be increased. Now, isn't that strange? All you disbelievers now, read chapter 12 of Daniel. And knowledge was increased for a time period. He said, it'll be for the time period of the last days. The last days? Well, that's when Yahweh's house would be reestablished, in the last days. I lived to see. I was born in 1934. You know when knowledge was increased? Get with our deacon, the great deacon that's been bringing these things, Tovia Grinowitz, and he will show you. He will show you in detail the time that knowledge was increased, how it was increased, and the bombs, the guided missiles, and everything that was invented in my lifetime. Now, here is Daniel saying in chapter 12 that Yahweh says, close the books now. Nothing is going to be revealed from here on. Nobody will be able to understand it until the witnesses. And then I will give them power to prophesy. Well, how come no one's ever understood this before? And they still don't. And they still don't know who Yahweh's branch is. They're still struggling over that. We're the only ones on the face of the earth that know that. And it's just plain as day in the Holy Scriptures when you get these prophecies together. Well, you know that because I've brought it, but I'm going to bring this again. Therefore, behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that they will no longer say, as surely as Yahweh lives, who brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, brought up, that is, raised to do a job, bred to do a job, and so forth. But they will say, as surely as Yahweh lives, who brought up this branch and Yahshua, and then established the house of Yahweh, and led the seed of the house of Israel. The seed of the house of Israel. Did you get that? Most people read over it and never know what they're reading. But from the I'll raise to David a righteous branch. Well, you see the same thing here. Who led the seed of the house of Israel out of the protected place. That is, they learned this in the protected place, and they're learning it from the protected place right now, overseas, to all the foreign nations. It's global now. Yes, people right now are reading this letter that's cluing them in that soon they're going to be gathered to Abilene. To the house of Yahweh, and there's a lot of believers out there. They're the seed of the house of Israel, out of the protected place, and from the countries, from all the countries where I had driven them, where you, look back to verse 1, you're the one that scattered these, not Yahweh. Why would this be changed down here? He didn't drive them out. The people drove them out. They accused Eliyahu being the troublemaker in Israel. And Eliyahu said, I'm not the troublemaker for Israel. You're the troublemakers. You're the one that's doing this. I'm warning you of what you're doing. But you see the contradiction here in the scriptures, the way they translated it? That doesn't at all say that in the original. Where you drove them, as verse 1 plainly shows. The countries where you drove them, and they will dwell in their own land. My heart is broken. Well, of course, you're going down to verse 10, it shows you even more of the about these people. For the land is full of adulterers, that is, God worshipers. Because of this, curse, that's what we see in plagues. Plagues are curses, as they're called so in Exodus, where Moshe brought them on the land of Egypt. Because of this curse that you brought on yourselves, now you're going to see these seven plagues that Yahweh named, and they will be strong, and I'll be naming them for you as they come. Because of this curse, the land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. We have drought and famine. This is getting worse too, every year. And the rains we get are floods and wind, high tornadoes. There's nothing normal at all about our weather patterns now. Their conduct is evil, whose might is not right. For both prophet and priest, he's not talking about the prophets and priests of Yahweh. He's talking about the evil prophets and priests that took control of the temple, later on destroyed it with their army, with their general Titus, destroyed it after his father, Vespasian, killed and murdered millions of them. They couldn't wipe them out. So they destroyed the temple and left and moved to Rome, and took the artifacts with them. For both prophet and priest are profane, that is, of Satan, not Yahweh's prophets and priests. Yes, even in my own house I have found their wickedness. Yes, says Yahweh, and so their ways will be slippery. They'll be like groping in the dark, as one said. Be slippery places to them. In the darkness they will be driven on and fall in the darkness. They will fall in this darkness, yes. For I will, and there again, I will, like Yahweh is doing it. No, it's the way that they have chosen that brings this trouble. The darkness. For the way that you have chosen brings this trouble upon you. The year of their visitation, says Yahweh. In Exodus, we see Exodus 7. Let's go there and read just a little bit. We're going to be covering this in detail, but in Exodus 7, you see what is taking place right now. What took place in Moshe's day is taking place. We see kind of the starting of going to the public with it and giving this warning. Chapter 7, verse 1 of Exodus says, "And then Yahweh said to Moshe, Behold, I have made you a mighty one in Pharaoh, to Pharaoh." That is, he made him a god. The Pharaohs, they believed in gods. Their gods was the Pharaohs that died before them. They deified them. That, like the popes today, when a pope dies, he becomes a god. They deify. They say, well, he works miracles, so pray to him. He can work miracles for you. Now, well, this came from Egypt. This was the worship of the gods. A god, he made them gods to Pharaoh. And Aaron and your brother will be your prophet. Got that? You are to speak all that I command you. That is, Aaron will speak it. You tell Aaron. Aaron will tell Pharaoh. Aaron, your brother, is to tell Pharaoh that he must let the children of Israel go out of his country. You see the same thing today in Yahweh's branch. You see Yeshua say, riding in the clouds as he said he would. And that's the reason I said, give me an answer in the cloud. Well, he had already done it. he said, before you ask, I will answer. Remember? But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, even though I will multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. Pharaoh will not listen to you. Well, that's exactly what Yahshua is saying in Revelations. Pharaoh will not listen. So the curses are going to come. Then I will lay my hand upon Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by mighty acts of judgment. Beautiful, isn't it? Okay, we see seven plagues there. We also see seven plagues given in Revelations that is going to take place. Only the house of Yahweh could stop this. We could turn this thing around totally. We could put the peaceful solution teachers in schools and churches in all the religious places. We could start putting these in. Let's be turning over to Micah, because Micah tells us here what this will do when the house of Yahweh does this. And when the people are released, that's when we're going to do it. There's a lot going to take place between now and then. Get ready for some fantastic action before the television stations are knocked out, of course. We should be able to see the most of this taking place on the news channels. All the things that's going to take place here in the... We got months now. We're going to bring this out at the feast, but you really need to get all these sermons ahead of time. You need to get the book, The Nuclear Baby, and you need to start reading now, studying it closely, the 9 months that is given there. Those are fantastic prophecies that Yahweh gave us the numbers to, and more has been studied now, and Yahweh is showing that this is, it's not in the distant future. This is for this generation. Just like the nuclear war, nuclear bombs was for this generation. And the time period when the message would be preached to all nations by the one who bears witness. Well, that's Yahweh's witness or Yahweh's branch. In chapter 7, we see two billion people in Revelation that's going to be set free one way or another. And he says, but in the last days, I will establish my house. Zechariah said it's between Yahweh that does this, Yahweh and the branch. In the last days, I will establish my house in the chief of the nations, that is a promotion of the house of Yahweh, will be established in the chief of the nations. It will be raised above all congregations, and all people will eventually flow to it. That is all that's left alive, because Pharaoh's heart is hardened. The Pope is laughing. He won't laugh for long. You know, when it starts getting into the Vatican, starts knocking their priests and their cardinals out and so forth, this is what it's going to do. Yahweh shows this. Their attention will be a little more to the point at that time, and they will start wondering, did we do the right thing? But then, by that time, it'll be too late for us to do anything about it, to stop it. We could stop it now. We won't be able to once we get into the deep part of this thing. But notice verse 2, and many nations will come, that's to the house of Yahweh that he establishes in the chief of the nations, and say, come and let us go up to this promotion of Yahweh and to the house of the father of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his laws. And in verse 3, he says, and he will judge among many nations, many peoples, and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they will never learn war again. Now, this rebuking is talking about the plagues, the seven plagues of Revelation. He rebukes them by letting these plagues, letting them do what he said to begin with. I'm going to let you do this, and I'll show you the outcome. So he says, these plagues, I'm going to rebuke you by allowing you to bring these plagues upon yourself. Isaiah 24, he said, because you have changed the laws, broken the everlasting covenants, this curse has devoured the earth. And I'm going to let it rebuke many nations afar off. How? By allowing you to bring these plagues upon yourself. If you'll repent right now, Francis, we could stop this. The house of Yahweh can stop it. We're the only ones on the face of the earth that know how. And we could stop these plagues from coming on the world. Plagues that you can see coming right now if you just look around you. If you just pay attention to the news, but I know you see them. But you can't stop them any more than you could the black plague that came upon you and set the Bible free. Remember that, Francis, in history? If that black plague hadn't come upon you and wiped out you, the priests, the cardinals, everybody, and weakened your strength, the chokehold that you had upon the nations, you would have never allowed the Bible to be printed in 1916. For 2,000 years almost, you kept the Bible away from the people. Now, this same thing is going to take place now. Your strength is going to diminish. They're going to look upon you and say, are you the one that caused this uproar in the nations and destroyed the nations and made it like a wilderness? Have you become weak like we? Yes, Satan, you're perishing. You're going to perish with this. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you.